You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
People always reveal, eventually, who they truly are. And if that means looking at your social media to find out who you truly are, I am all for it. Today, we're talking about the new proposal from the Trump administration that requires visitors from 42 visa waiver countries. These are allies, like UK, Japan, Germany. These are allies, Israel, to submit 5 years of their social media history before they enter the U.S. And I think it's great. Coming here is a privilege. It should be taken as such. This is the greatest country in the world, and we hope to keep it that way. And we don't want people who seek to do it harm to be coming in. What do you think? Is this mandatory digital vetting essential for the safety of America in the 21st century, or is it just going to screen out people the Trump administration doesn't like? 651-461-9226. I am all for digital vetting. And here's why. The primary objective is to ensure that visitors don't pose a security concern. And by the way, that's the job of the government. The U.S. government is to keep us safe. That's their job, is to keep us safe. Maybe it's from foods. Maybe it's from outside threats. That's their job. They got to keep Americans, citizens safe. Okay? And for decades, vetting has been a lot on physical travel records, criminal history. But we live in a different world now. Terrorists use social media to indoctrinate other people, okay? And if you are seen on your social media feed where you willingly posted something that says death to America, you should not be able to come here. You can death to America all you want in your country. You don't get to death to America in our country as our guest. American citizens get to say whatever they want. We still have the First Amendment. We still have it, at least for now. Here, that's the freedom of speech. You get to death to America. You get to burn the American flag if you're an American citizen. You get to stomp all over the American flag because under the First Amendment, you are granted that as an American citizen. But if you're a visitor, if you honestly believe death to America, why would you want to come here? Why would you even want to come here if you hate us and we're so terrible? If you are anti-American, why would you want to come to this country unless it's to do us harm? And therefore, the government's job is to keep us safe, And they're doing it by keeping out all those death to Americas from visiting the U.S. 651-461-9226. All right, go ahead, David. The mic is yours. I know you've been chomping at the bit there.
Well,
I get it.
I'm a little shocked you're taking that position on that because I...
Really? Come on. You know me. Of course I am, right? Aren't I super MAGA at this point?
Well,
that's
you've
what
been
they accuse me of.
You've been drifting that way a little bit. I think this is so problematic and at the same time unhelpful. Like, to think that self-submitting your own social media history is going to weed out the, you know, the very dangerous but very small percentage of people that are coming here to do wrong. If you're somebody who's actually coming here to do wrong and you're asked to submit your history, you're either going to submit a history that's clean or you're going to whitewash your history before you submit it. And it's not going to help. It's going to do zero to keep us safe. Now, if you do it from the other direction, if you say, hey, the United States government has found a way to quickly identify people who are coming into our country that have problematic social media histories, then like maybe that's a proper thing. Maybe we can make a list of people and add it to whatever screening process the TSA has, or immigration rather, and say, okay, these people we've seen online have done these things and we're going to further question them when they come through. But to think that everybody should just have to submit this and to think that you're going to cull through that and find anything helpful to keep those people out is ridiculous. What they will find is whoever's in charge of this will use this to single out and to profile people from places and with views they don't like. And maybe they'll tell us what those things are, or maybe they won't. But they'll, you know, President Trump will use this and his people will use this to single out people who he's calling names in the news, people from asshole countries, people who are dirty and filthy. He's called them dogs. He will use this to single out people. And then, you know, 5 years of history. Oh, yeah, somewhere in there, there's something that gives me an extra reason to stamp deny on their application to come into this country. I think this is so ridiculous, unhelpful. The other thing that concerns me about this is that it's going to curb travel. Think about this. Think about how many Americans want to travel overseas, but it's a chore. It has become a chore to get to some countries where you have to file paperwork, you have to get a visa, you have to get an extra stamp in your passport. And can you imagine if you wanted to go to somewhere in Europe, but before you could book your ticket to go to England or Germany or whatever it is, you had to figure out how to download and submit 5 years of your own social media history? We as Americans would not take that. We would laugh and scoff at that, and we would stop going to some of those countries. The rates of Americans going to a country that imposed this on us would drop dramatically. So if you're anybody who's in the tourism industry, who's trying to welcome dollars from overseas to come anywhere, to come to here, to go to the Mall of America or whatever it is, you should be terrified about this, that rates of tourism to the U.S. are going to go down for a project that's not actually going to weed out or help anybody.
Do you agree with David? And by the way, it's not Adam, it's David. Adam is still at the Christmas markets in Austria. So David thinks, and David is a big travel bug, so he has traveled more than I. He loves travel and appreciates being able to travel all over the world. So should we get the 5 years of the social media history before they are allowed? Now, remember, this is a specific visa. The proposal would require travelers from the 42 countries who typically don't need visas to enter our country. All right. These are U.S. allies. The proposal is from U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. It's not final yet. It is accepting public comments for 60 days. But if it does take effect, it would be keeping with the new, more stringent requirements the administration has imposed for student visas and some work visas. So what they are saying is that they want, and again, submitting a five-year social media history is basically just putting a link to your social media. Like, here's my Twitter, here's my Instagram, here's my Facebook, go nuts. You know, it's not like you have to document. I don't believe these people are going to have to do extra work. They're just going to say, here are my socials, which is what you do anyway when you need to submit socials for something, if you're applying for a job or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure the terrorists are going to put on there, oh, here's the social I use for my terrorism. No, they're going to put on a clean one that doesn't actually help anybody.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing? 651-461-9226. By making 5 years of social media history mandatory, the CBP can execute the objectives orders, which is deny entry to foreigners who may pose a threat to national security or public safety. Now, a traveler, remember this, might have an absolutely clean criminal record, but a history of anti-American rhetoric. May have expressed sympathy for designated foreign terrorist organizations that America has deemed terrorist organizations. They might even have detailed plans for illicit activities. All of these are often available on platforms like X or Facebook or Instagram. And this system would give agents the tool to see that intent before the traveler steps on American soil. And I think it's fantastic. Mark is in Minneapolis. Jump in here, Mark. What do you think?
Well, David is right on this one, for sure. It's not only a bad idea, it's a stupid idea for a lot of the reasons that he already mentioned. But I also think that we need to look at the historical factors of who's coming to America. And in terms of just the immigration issue, forget the visa part, but moving on to the immigration, which would be the next step in all this. We've never really been a place for the best and the brightest. We have gotten the people that historically we've gotten the people that other countries didn't want anymore. If you had value to that culture in that country, they wouldn't let you leave. So we've never been getting overall the best and the brightest from other countries. And this is just another step in eliminating more of that, I think, more of the immigration.
Well, that's a harsh thing to say. I think that if you're living in a country that persecutes you because you want to be free, then that is the best and the brightest. And I think those people who are looking for a better life than living under some kind of terrible regime or authoritarian rule, they would want to come here for freedom. I think we attract people that are seeking freedom.
True, but if you look at the history of immigration in America, especially in the big influx through the 1800s and middle 1900s, that wasn't always the case. Yes, there were oppressive regimes, but they wanted to keep their talent and keep their brain power and keep their wealth in those countries. The ones they allowed to leave or encouraged to leave were farther down in the pecking order.
Mark, thanks for the call. Mike's in Lake Elmo. Mike, jump in here.
Hey, Jordana. So there's a country that does something very similar to this. It's called North Korea. And what the dear leader there looks for is to ensure that nobody says anything negative about the dear leader and his leadership. So I see similarities along that line. If this is strictly for people wanting to travel into the United States, I don't see what it's going to solve other than disenfranchising America from the rest of the world.
Do you want to travel to North Korea?
I do not want to travel to North Korea, but if I wanted to travel to North Korea, I would have to show everything and my social media in the event that I've ever said anything negative about the dear leader.
And okay. And he gets to do that because he's a lunatic and he's a dictator.
Yep, I agree. That's my point.
Mike, just to be clear, are you okay with people who have chanted death to America coming here on a visa and visiting and spending time here?
So if they're coming on a travel visa and they have chanted death to America, just like a lot of Americans have done the same under their First Amendment right, if they're not planning on staying in our country, I personally don't have a problem with that. If they are coming to our country to create and be rabble-rousers and stick along for the long haul, I would have a problem for that. But I think allowing people that have different opinions to come to the United States, maybe see how great a country we are, they might not be chanting back at home, death to America.
Okay, fair enough. That's why I asked. I'm actually shocked that people are okay with people who want to do harm to this country coming in to the country. You guys never cease to amaze me. Let's continue the conversation in just a moment. The U.S., the Trump administration, wants to screen foreign tourists' social media for entry. That's what we're talking about. The new proposal from the Trump administration that would require travelers from 42 countries. They don't typically need visas to enter the country. These are allies of ours, to provide 5 years' worth of social media history in order to visit the U.S. And I say, great. The current system was designed for a less complex world. The Trump administration is trying to overhaul this mobile process and recognize that the modern traveler leaves a digital footprint, so to speak. And often that is much more revealing, as you can imagine, than a paper application. The information is, you know, social media emails over the last 10 years, immediate family details. It creates a comprehensive digital profile, and that could help law enforcement identify associations and patterns of and background check them, you know. Basically, it's a digital history that updates our border protection. The question is not really whether it's about inconvenience for tourists, because if you really want to come to America and see our amazing sights and experience our amazing country, that's great. This is about whether or not it's making America safer. And if you really want to come here, you probably would not have been chanting. If you want to come here and visit and enjoy America, you probably wouldn't be posting things about overthrowing democracies or chanting death to America, so you don't have a problem. So when you put in the link to your Twitter account, it's not going to show anything. But if you are somebody who has been advocating for terrorism all over the world and chanting death to America, it's going to be kind of inconvenient for you to go and scrub all of your five-year history of your social media. That's going to make it more challenging for people who want to do us harm to come in, because they might miss a post. Because again, if you're a bad guy or a bad girl and you want to do harm to America, you might not want to scrub that from your social media, because that's morally who you are. You want to stand up for your favorite terrorist and your goal of being against democracy and causing trouble. And you know what? If that's you, it is going to be inconvenient for you to come on a visitor's visa. And it should be. We should not allow people in this country who want to do us harm. Full stop. And I am actually shocked that this is even a conversation. Dan is calling in from Minneapolis. Jump in, Dan.
Good morning. I'm surprised you're able to kind of keep a straight face. You're clearly playing the provocateur. But hats off to you for getting the discussion going. It just seems so ridiculous. You know, we've had controls in place forever. You know, then we went through 9/11, and we got the TSA, and we've got, you know, it's really another sort of shaming of our current structure by the current administration, saying that what the FBI, Border Patrol, Homeland Security, TSA, FBI, CIA, and so on, that we don't already have sufficient information on folks coming into our country that we, you know, look at on a streaming basis, right? Because people change flights all the time and so on, that we really don't have a handle, that there are evildoers potentially coming into our country. It's just dumb. It's sowing fear and distress and making the world dislike us even more.
So you're more concerned about the public perception of the United States than people who want to do us harm coming in?
Well, I just think that we must already have sufficient controls for folks that are coming, especially flying to the United States because of travel manifests and everything else that has been in place for a long time. It's just going to complicate things. It's bluster, makes it sound like we're more dangerous than we are as a country, that we are leaky, that people are coming in that we don't know as much as we can possibly know, and that we would entertain that information self-submitted, as you've already talked about, a whitewash that somebody, I think, said they'd whitewash their profile before they sent it, that would be a next additional step. Well, that's crazy. I mean, because you would only submit good stuff and, you know, lie if you needed to lie. To think that we would rely on that over everything else that we already have is just another waste of resources.
This would be in addition to what we already have.
And right. But
yeah, so
would it really be in addition is my question. It's just, you know, sometimes more isn't better. Most of the time, more isn't better. And who
thank
do we have as experts
in
that are going to be reviewing this? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
And also, Dan, I appreciate your comments, but I don't play provocateur. I tell you the truth here. I give you my opinion. Otherwise, it would be disingenuous, this show. So I truly believe that people who want visas to visit this country should be the ones that are not chanting death to America on their social media. And
it's not
it shocks me.
It's not what anybody's arguing, though, Jordana.
Would disagree with that.
No, nobody has argued that. What the argument has been for the last half an hour is that this will not help. That the person shouting death to America on their social media is not going to show up at the airport and share a link to that video of them shouting death to America and then get weeded out. That's not going to happen. Like, we have protocols
you're
in place, like
so
Dan just
contrite,
said.
David, obviously, we have, if people want to come here, they can share their social media, and then people who are vetting, we already have people vetting people who want to come to this country. So it's more of a deep dive into their social media history. And also, we haven't discussed the fact that this might be a deterrent, that people might be living in a country and are undercover terrorists. You know, they might want to hide their terrorism, not like the terrorists that we see today, but some people might be ashamed of their terrorism and they want to hide it. So therefore, they would not submit this, and it will be a deterrent so they don't come to America. It could be as simple as that. If you don't want to spend that time scrubbing your social media, then you just don't get a visa. And that would be a good deterrent for the bad guys not to come. If you have nothing to worry about, yeah, here's my ex profile. No problem. But if you were, you know, at a rally where people are burning the American flag in Uzbekistan, and all of a sudden you want to come because you heard there are some great, you know, new terrorist cells to join in America where you can continue your work, we're probably going to find that video and say, you know what? Maybe you're not a good fit for a student visa at Columbia. Thanks so much, but we're going to pass on this one, and we're going to give this visa to somebody from Japan who isn't screaming death to America and down with democracy and America is the great Satan. I am actually shocked that people don't think that this is not even just a good idea. Even sending this out to the rest of the world and saying, you know what, America is now checking all of our social media profiles, maybe that would deter the bad guys from even applying for a waiver. And if it deters the one bad guy from coming in and setting a bomb off at a church, then that would be worth it for me. We have to take a break because it's 9:34 and I'm late. Speaking of social media, we're going to be joined by Dr. Sarah Paper. She is a psychologist with Allina Health. Australia has banned all social media for kids under 16. Should America do it too? Let's find out next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
No social media if you're under 16. Wow. It's huge and it is happening in Australia. This week, Australia put in a groundbreaking law into effect, forcing major platforms like TikTok and Instagram and X to identify and deactivate the accounts of users under 16. Oh my gosh, I have so many questions about this and so many thoughts. Joining us is Dr. Sarah Paper. She is a psychologist with Allina Health, specializing in child and adolescent psychology. Dr. Paper is joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, and thanks for joining us, Doc.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is this a good idea? Ban all social media for people under 16?
I mean, it's a complicated idea, and I think it is just addressing the surface issue instead of the underlying issues. And for one, as I think about it, adolescents are smarter than many of us adults when it comes to social media, and they would most likely find a way around it. And I worry about who it's limiting access to, like who is going to suffer the most from it. Because there are benefits to social media, and if you think about marginalized groups, kids who are searching for people who have a similar identity, if they don't have access to that, where are they going to get those needs met? And so if we instead focused on building up the resources that these kids and teens need versus limiting their access to ones that we find unhealthy, I think that would be more effective, personally.
Okay, I'm pretty surprised by your answer because all I keep hearing, I mean, really, all I hear is that social media is terrible. It's the downfall of our kids. They don't even know how to talk to each other anymore. They're not actually social. That social media is the devil. Are you saying that social media is okay for our kids?
I think it can be okay. I think that when kids are struggling, their social media use would mirror their struggles. And so it's more important to think about, like, what mental health struggles does your child have and how can you address those in, with therapy, with other activities. And if your child is active and has things going on, if you're sitting down and doing homework with them, if they have sports that they're going to, if they have theater activities that they're going to, or arts activities, or chess competitions, then they don't have time to be on social media. So there's that piece too. Can we build up their life so they're not, their only life isn't social media? And can we help them to develop healthy social media habits? Because there are some benefits to it. And I think just taking it away isn't really the answer. It's similar to banning junk food versus increasing access to healthy foods.
But that hasn't happened. Like, we still have chess competitions and we still have sports, but there are still so many kids that choose not to do chess because they'd rather go home and look at their phone, right?
I don't know if it's rather. And we do have budget cuts that are cutting funding for different activities and busing for after-school programming. And so sometimes it's the ability to do so. And so they might not have the means or opportunities to engage in those activities. Mm-hmm. But and they might need social, what are they going to do instead? You know, I think we have to think about if a child doesn't have those activities for whatever reason, whether they're choosing not to, what are they going to do instead? So instead of saying, get off your phone, get off social media, we need to provide alternatives. We need to help them. We need to support them in engaging in other activities. And we need to get off our phones.
Do you not believe that this ban in Australia will make the teens healthier or reduce the mental health incidences or reduce bullying? Do you not think this will be effective in Australia?
I mean, I'm not sure. I think we'll have to wait and see. I think it Australia is doing a lot of other things that can benefit teens' mental health and also reduce suicide. And I think we have to look at some of those things that we can do as well. I don't think just taking it away is going to be helpful because we have people who have been relying on it for a lot of things. And so if we take away something that's been helping somebody who might be completely lonely and isolated at school but has some online friends through social media, other means, and we just take that away from them without helping them access other social connections, what's going to happen? And so I think we have to look at it deeper before we just make a decision to remove it, because there are pros and cons. There are positive aspects and there are unhealthy aspects. And the bigger thing is what's been found in research is it's the addictive behavior when it comes to social media. And addiction is, no matter what it is about underlying mental health conditions. And so we have to make sure we're not cutting resources for mental health services.
Right. So if Australia has done this, they've banned all social media.
Right.
So what I'm hearing you say, just so I fully understand it, because I'm actually pretty surprised about your answer that social media can be good. I mean, are you not surprised that I'm surprised?
No, I'm not surprised that you're surprised. No, because I think that's the message that's out there. But research shows that there are benefits and there are risks. So it can do either one, and most of it depends on the mental health of that child, right? So if a child is not well, they're going to use it in ways that can be even more harmful. And if a child is doing well, they're not going to be sucked into it to the same degree, and they might be connecting with other people. They might have opportunities to kind of express their creativity. There can be lots of ways. I think we have to help them to use it in a healthy way. Finding, positive things out there.
Okay, so do you think those benefits of, let's say, a kid connecting with another kid who may be LGBTQ, or a child connecting with another child who, has, depression, do you think the benefits of you know, unlimited access to social media outweigh the risks that we do know? Like you said, addiction negatively affecting moods, creating depressive behaviors, or online bullying. You know, more time spent on social media has been shown to lower cognitive testing scores. Do you think those benefits of certain communities outweigh the risk for the other kids that maybe don't have mental health problems?
I mean, I think that it's, so we've looked at a lot of research that has correlations, but we don't know the cause. And so we know that kids who have lower test scores, kids who have higher rates of depression, have increased rates of time on social media. But are they trying to avoid, distract, numb the depression? Are they trying to escape some of their stressors? Or are these escapes causing them to be more depressed, or is it an interaction effect? I don't think we know enough yet to really make a decision about banning. And so I think we have to like look into it deeper and also have more conversations with teenagers. We need to understand what it is they're doing, what they're getting out of it, what they like about it, and then help them to manage cyberbullying, help them to manage some of the negative comparisons they might be doing in social media or in real life as well, and help them have conversations with us and trust us.
Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't agree with America, let's say, enacting mm-hmm. a social media ban for kids under 16?
I don't think, personally, I don't think a full ban without like other things in place would be a good idea right now. I think we have to look at what are the benefits and how can we replace those, mm-hmm. particularly like in Minnesota, like, kids in rural areas have higher rates of suicide, and some of that is because they don't have the social connections. They have increased access to firearms. They have struggles with poverty. They might have, you know, less activities and ways to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure we can help people connect. I think teaching kids to use social media in a healthy way would be more effective because they will find a way around the ban. They are smarter than us.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we can teach kids to use social media in a healthy way?
Yes. Yeah, I think we can, especially if we're being healthy and we're teaching them or modeling and we're providing other opportunities. I mean, when they're younger, yeah, you need to be guiding them and spending time on top of mm-hmm. like what they're doing. And then as they get older, really helping them have more autonomy and independence with their use.
Is this something that we're teaching in school? Because I don't know that parents have the answer to that. I don't know that parents know how to teach their kids how to be responsible with social media.
I don't think in school it's being taught, but I think parents, we probably need more resources for that, for mm-hmm. kids, for parents to like have mm-hmm. those conversations with their kids and be engaged with their children and spend time with their children and have these, you know, conversations about what are you doing on social media, or like making sure you follow them on social media, making sure you understand social media so that you can help them. If you don't understand social media, you're not going to be able to help them, and they're going to access it. They're going to use it because their friends are as well, and kids don't yeah. want to be left out.
For our listeners, are there some resources mm-hmm. that you can point us to? We're speaking with Dr. Sarah Paper. She's a mm-hmm. psychologist at Allina Health. Yeah. What are some resources that our listeners and I can look at?
Yeah, the American Psychological Association has a publication. So if you go on their website, the title of it is Health Advisory on Social Media Use in Adolescents. Mm-hmm. It's from 2024. And so it gives some tips on how to kind of help parents help their adolescents. And citing too, they comment that their lives online often reflect their lives offline. And so figuring out mm-hmm. how to help channel that and help them manage that.
Dr. Sarah Paper, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners before I let you go?
I think one thing, and this may be also be surprising, I think it's important for us to think back to when we say like kids are on their phone all the time, they're on their phone all the time, mm-hmm. they're on the phone all the time. I think to also think back to our own childhoods and calculate how much time did we spend reading a newspaper, reading a Tiger Beat or a Teen Bop magazine, mm-hmm. reading Cosmo, looking at catalogs, reading books, being on phone calls, writing notes to our friends, looking through an encyclopedia, watching television, watching movies, playing video games. I mean, these are all things that they're doing on their phone, and how much time do we spend doing all of those things?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Sarah Paper, thank you. Our phones are more than our phone now. Anyway, so.
side.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you so much for the time and this enlightening interview. I appreciate it. And thank you so much. We'll have you on again.
Thank you so much.
Great. So as you could hear from my voice, I was surprised that she said, don't, you know, I don't, she doesn't think a ban would be very beneficial. What do you think? 651-461-9226. Let's react next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I was surprised that she said we should. It's okay to have social media for kids under 16 as long as parents teach them how to use it wisely. I know a lot of parents, and those parents don't know how to use their own social media wisely. They're on way too much. So I think putting it on the parents is a lot, especially parents that didn't grow up as digital natives.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Gen X. I didn't get a cell phone until I was 30.
I think it's a catch-22 because the reality is social media is not going away. And these kids, my kids, your kids, are going to have to live in a world where social media is very prevalent. And at some point, they have to learn about that. And the reality is we don't have great ways to teach them about that right now. So do you ban it and try to teach it at the same time? I think we're in a tricky spot with social media right now in the world.
I think we are in a tricky spot, but to put more on the parents to have to mediate their child's use of social media, it's a lot on the parents. And I know that parents aren't so great. There's some really crappy parents out there. I get her point that social media is good for, you know, certain groups who maybe need to find each other on social media. I think we could certainly rein it in. And by the way, I love Australia for doing this. I think Australia is terrific. And I'm so glad that they're the petri dish for this, because then we can watch what happens to the youth of Australia in 10 years. We're going to have more information. I know some kids are going to get around it, and of course they're smarter than we are, but you know, it will cut down. I really do. I believe it'll cut down on such heavy usage, and maybe we'll get the kids looking up from phones and not on social media, and hopefully cut down on some of the bullying and the indoctrination. And I'll be watching Australia closely and watching the studies that come out and see how that does. If it doesn't work, okay, no problem. We're still in the same issue that we have now, the rampant online bullying and the indoctrination and just the constant dopamine hit from the likes. But having some guardrails would be a good thing. All right, David, what you got coming up for us in Quick Take?
Well, your personal data, your footprint online could impact how much you're paying for groceries. That and more coming up next in Quick Takes.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.